Doctors in the United States have successfully transplanted a liver between a donor and a patient who were both HIV positive. Until now, the organs of HIV donors were thrown out. This latest development could dramatically reduce the waiting times for HIV transplant patients, as David Taylor reports.
It was a single HIV positive donor whose organs were used for both transplants. Doctors say the use of HIV donors could now mean between 300 and 500 extra donors per year. Surgeon Dori Sedjev spoke to the media a short time ago.
For patients today, for those living with HIV, this is a very exciting time because now, instead of having a very high risk of death on the waiting list, every potential HIV positive donor is potential lives saved.
Both patients had been living with HIV for more than 25 years. The new kidney recipient suffered kidney failure from a combination of hypertension and an autoimmune process and was in need of dialysis. The patient has been waiting years for a transplant. Christine Durand is involved in clinical research focused on patients infected with HIV.
The surgery went without complication and the kidney began working immediately. The patient is already home and doing well.
The liver transplant recipient is still recovering in hospital, but is expected to be released in a few days.
The patient would have remained on the wait list for years without an organ offer, but because of this innovative study, the patient was able to receive an organ at a time when they were doing well still.
Kidney transplants between people with HIV have been conducted elsewhere, in the UK and South Africa. Steve Chadban is a surgeon at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. He says there's no barrier for Australians with HIV that need a transplant, but it's still not possible for those with the disease to donate their organs.
The main barrier has been medical uncertainty. We do worry about the long-term consequences because the evidence we have so far from South Africa gives us a good handle on the short-term outcomes for people, but not so on the long-term outcomes.
Does what's happened overnight in the United States, or the news that's come from the United States overnight, does that change anything for Australia?
Well, I think it does. I think in two ways. Number one, it opens the possibility that people who are HIV positive on our waiting list can now be considered in the future for a donor who is potentially HIV positive. And currently we do reject a lot of donors on the grounds that they may be HIV positive. So that would certainly give them greater access to transplant if we decide to go down this pathway.
Does there need to be change in the legislation, or is it just a matter of a group of surgeons agreeing to do it?
I think that the first step is to get medical consensus that this is a sensible pathway forward. And indeed, under the auspices of our Transplantation Society, we're having such a discussion openly in a month or so at our annual forum.
Until 2013, Americans with HIV were ineligible to donate a life-saving organ. People with HIV did receive organs from patients who were not infected, but doctors were throwing away viable organs because they came from someone infected with HIV. The HIV Organ Policy Equality Act, or HOPE Act, changed all of that. Studies of organ donations in South Africa showed that the transplant success rate between HIV-infected patients was nearly the same as the rate of success in people who were not infected with the virus. But a couple of studies that ran in the New England Journal of Medicine did show that when it came to kidney transplants, the organ rejection rate was three times as high between HIV-positive patients. Professor Chadban points out, though, that it's not just those infected with HIV that should be considered as potential donors, but those too that have died from drug overdoses.
In terms of further boosting Australia's organ donation rate, one pathway we will sort of proceed down is looking much harder at those type of potential donors. We're not there yet, but this information from Johns Hopkins provides, you know, more of the sort of information we need to go that way.
That's Sydney surgeon Professor Steve Chadban ending David Taylor's report.